this prayer by the great Vasudev Ghosh. Is revealing to us the internal identity of Lord Chaitanya. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Puranas, Upanishads, the Supreme Lord descends in this world. In the age of Kali, the time of rampant quarrel and hypocrisy within society, in a most munificent golden form, the Lord, according to 7th canto of Bhagavata, is Chanda Avatar. That means he is a hidden incarnation. How is he hidden? Because the Lord comes in the guise of his own devotee to practically teach us how to worship himself. The absolute truth in his original transcendent form descended from the spiritual world just at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, as Shamsundar. He appeared as the son of Nanda and Yashoda and performed his leelas in Vrindavan. Then he moved to Mathura and Dwarka. And on the great field of Kurukshetra, he spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, his dear devotee. By great scholars both east and west, Bhagavad Gita has been proclaimed to be the very essence of all spiritual knowledge. Shankaracharya declared that the Bhagavad Gita was the very essence of all Vedas. Even the great scholars, Emerson, Thoreau, studied the Gita. It is declared as Gita Upanishad. It's a song of God. The very summary essence of all the great scriptures. And the culmination of Gita is Man Manabhava Mad Bhakto Madhyajim Nam Namaskuru Mami Vaishashi Shatyam Te Prati Jani Priyoshime. Lord Krishna tells, always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. This is my promise. Because you are my dear friend. Krishna is speaking to every living, every one of us. Aham bija pratapita. Krishna is the supreme, eternal, original father and mother of all living entities. In his beautiful song, Bhagavad Gita, he's teaching us the way of perfecting our life and coming to our original home and realizing the supreme treasure within us. Krishna is all pure. Our nature is to love God. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhi Cheti Koriya Yudhoi. That the perfect state of love of God is dormant within the heart of every living being. It is the intrinsic nature of the soul, the life-giving force of everyone. The need to love originates from our propensity to love God, our thirst to taste the nectar of God's beauty and grace. And we cannot find that anywhere but turning to the all-beautiful, all-attractive Supreme. So always think of me. Because when we think of Krishna, when we remember Krishna, we associate with Krishna. The divine presence of Krishna awakens within us and purifies our heart. And that is the whole purpose of life, simply to purify our hearts and bring it to its original natural nature. But in this age of Kali, there is so much addiction to egoistic pursuits in life. And on the basis of that egotism, even in the name of religion, spirituality, and God, cheaters mislead people to exploit them sometimes, or lead them to a road where something less than life's ultimate aspiration, Krishna Prem, or God's love, is to be sought for. How to always think of Krishna? How to become Krishna's devotee? How to follow the teachings of Bhagavad Gita? The Lord is so kind that He appears in this world, Krishna, with the sentiment and the mood of love of Sri Radha, His supreme feminine potency, comes to this world in the role of a devotee to teach us by example. This is what I have said, now this is how to do it. And when Lord Chaitanya was called upon as God by those who understood His identity, He would generally hold His ears with His hands, blocking the sound from entering, and cry out, "Vishnu, Vishnu." The living entity can never become God. We are eternally servants of God. The perfection of life is not to be. The perfection of life is to love. And that love is the ecstatic, eternal reciprocation of the soul to the supreme, all-attractive soul. Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip taught the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names. Vasudev Ghosh explains in the song how Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, Krishna, appears with the devotional ecstasies, the sentiments of Sri Radha, and distributes that love through the chanting of the holy names. The chanting of the holy names has the power of cleansing the heart and bringing about the awakening of our original nature. Later, Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas and moved to the holy place Jagannath Puri. It is considered one of the four dhams of India. Jagannath Puri, or Nilachala, is celebrated as a supreme holy place by hundreds of millions of people. Why? Because it is the residence of Lord Jagannath. This ancient form of Krishna with Balaram and Subhadra, who are sitting atop that beautiful blue mountain in their splendid temple, installed many, many ages back by King Indrajumna. Jagannath is Lord of the universe, not Lord of the Hindus, not Lord of the Indians, Lord of the universe. And it's amazing, because through the ages, devotees of Ganesh worship Jagannath as Ganesh. Devotees of Shiva worship him as Shiva. Even in times of yore, Buddhists worshipped him as Buddha. Devotees of Ram worship him as Sri Ramchandra. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who taught us the sentiment of his love, when he would be standing in Jagannath's temple, he would see Jagannath in a threefold bending form with a complexion like a monsoon cloud, with beautiful lotus-like eyes, hair decorated with a peacock feather, with a beautiful flute pressed against his lips, playing a song of love. Yes, Lord Jagannath is Krishna himself, who has appeared in this most extraordinary, merciful form. And once every year, Lord Jagannath is bathed on his birthday, Snan Yatra. And then after that, he gets very, very special, personal, intimate care by the Dayatapatis. A caste coming long ago from pig farmers who worshipped him with great simplicity and devotion. They worship Lord Jagannath for 2 weeks in a secluded place. At that time, the public is not allowed to come to see the Lord. And then he appears in a ceremony called Pahandi or Pandu Bijai, where he appears beautifully decorated with a wonderful, wonderful ornamented crown of bamboo and various other types of natural decorations. He's carried by at least 15 very, very strong men it takes to carry him. He's very big size. And they're carrying him with silken ropes and with their arms, with great love and devotion. They bring him out of the temple to be placed on his chariot for the Ratha Yatra, along with Baladev and Subhadra. What is the significance of this Ratha Yatra? The gopis, residents of Vrindavan, after many years of separation from Krishna, met him in Kurukshetra, near the Brahma Sarovar. And there they prayed. They prayed to Krishna to return to Vrindavan. They did not like to see him as a royal prince, surrounded by elephants and chariots and horses, and military queens, ministers. They wanted to see him as a simple cowherd boy, with his flute, surrounded by gopas and cows, in the forests of Kadamba trees on the bank of Yamuna. And in their hearts, they created beautiful chariots and brought Baladev, Subhadra, and Jagannath to Vrindavan. This is the meaning of Ratha Yatra, bringing Jagannath back to Vrindavan. And Srimati Radharani explains, what is Ratha Yatra? She said, Vrindavan is my heart. Please, once again, place your feet in my heart. So Prabhupada explains in this regard, very simple, in one of his Rath Yatra addresses, that Rath Yatra means to bring God back into our hearts. Of course, God is always in our heart. We cannot see Him because our hearts are so much polluted and distracted. To clean our heart is to bring Jagannath back into our heart. And even today, thousands of years, the celebration has been going on. Even today, approximately 1 million people come every year for this parade. A few years ago we went, we brought about 2,000 devotees with us for kirtan in front of Jagannath's cart. Now you may think 2,000 is a lot, but on that day, according to government statistics, there was over 800,000 people on the same road at the same time for that parade. And there was thousands of kirtan parties. And Jagannath was mercifully, lovingly glancing upon everyone. He didn't care what our birth was, what our sex was, what our educational qualifications were. Jagannath did not consider at all whether we were rich or whether we were poor, whether we were monks or businessmen or lawyers or politicians or hippies. Jagannath was dancing upon everyone. Whether we were black or white or yellow or red, whether we were Indians or Pakistanis or Americans or Russians, even whether we were atheists or devotees, Jagannath was smiling upon all of us, casting his glance of mercy on everyone. That is Rath Yatra. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that if we want Jagannath to appear within our heart, we have to clean our hearts. Thus, the day before Rath Yatra, sometimes it's 2 days, usually it's 1 day, according to the calendar, Lord Chaitanya established a festival called Gundicha Marjanam. And that day, according to our Vaishnav calendar, we are celebrating today. Today is Gundicha Marjanam. And for this reason, we have sung this beautiful song. So now we will begin our lecture. In brief, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood we're going to bring Jagannath from his temple to Gundicha Mandir. The whole procession is bringing Jagannath Baladev Subhadra to Gundicha Mandir. Gundicha Mandir is Vrindavan. Not only does it represent Vrindavan, but it is Vrindavan in Puri. We're bringing Jagannath back home, back to Vrindavan. Now, this festival has been followed for thousands and thousands of years. But Lord Chaitanya is Jagannath himself who's come to teach us how to welcome him, how to serve him, and how to love him by his example. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave an extraordinary instruction to his devotees. He said, tomorrow, we must prepare the temple to be a suitable place for Jagannath to appear. We cannot invite Jagannath into a dirty place. It must be absolutely spotless. So tomorrow we will cleanse the Gundicha temple. And he said, I want you to bring hundreds of brooms and hundreds of buckets of water, and all the devotees will clean. I told little Lord Chaitanya, it is not suitable for you to be cleaning and sweeping and washing. But for Lord Chaitanya, menial service was an honor. Menial service to the Lord, menial service to the Lord devotees is the greatest privilege. There's no high or low in devotional service. The only thing high or low is our consciousness. But whether we're sweeping the floor, or whether we're giving lectures to 100,000 people, or whether we're worshiping the deity, the high or low quality is our consciousness. How we are doing it with selfless, humble love and dedication. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Gundicha temple and he personally was distributing the brooms to his devotees. And they weren't brooms with long handles. They were little brooms that you have to get on your hands and knees to sweep. Hadivo. It's brooms that really make you feel humble. And he took his broom and they swept and they swept and they swept. And Lord Chaitanya instructed every single particle of sand, dust, and straw must be removed from the temple. And oh, how diligently, with rapt attention, total focus, they were sweeping the temple. Hundreds of devotees sweeping the temple. Every inch, the walls, the ceilings, the altar, the kitchen, every part of the temple was being swept. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had everybody put the dust and whatever they collected in piles outside. And it is described that all the devotees together made one pile. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cleaning. Because acharya means to teach by example. By his example, he was so determined, so enthusiastic, that when he was sweeping that floor, it appeared that he had 1,000 arms. And his single pile was far bigger, many times bigger, than all the hundreds of devotees' piles put together. And there was 300 to 400 devotees. And they were working as hard as they could. It was not just a ritual. They were doing service. They were meditating that cleaning the temple is cleaning my heart. Yet Mahaprabhu's pile was many times greater than all the devotees together. And then after they've cleaned it all, Lord Chaitanya told them, now let us sweep the whole temple again and search out for finer, more subtle particles of dust, sand, and straw. And they went through the whole temple again until it was immaculately clean. And then there were hundreds of devotees with hundreds of pots of water ready for the Lord's direction. And when he gave the direction, they just pouring water everywhere, on the ceilings, on the walls, on the floors. This pouring unlimited quantities of water and wiping and washing and sweeping. It was an amazing sight. And when they would let the water out, mass quantities of water would just come pouring out of the insides of the temple. They had so many buckets of water. And it is described they were so interconnected in their purpose of cleaning that temple for the pleasure of Jagannath. Nobody spoke a single word. Everyone simply chanted Hare Krishna. And because their hearts were so united in their purpose, that anything anyone wanted to say to anyone else, just by chanting Hare Krishna, the other person would know exactly what they wanted. That is connection. If somebody wanted a new bucket, if someone wanted something, just Hare Krishna, everybody would know exactly what to do. And they were bringing water from the Indradrumna Sarovar, and they were bringing water from various wells and from various lakes, and there were lines and lines of devotees and just passing the water on and pouring it and pouring it and pouring it. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so enthusiastic, he was so ecstatic about cleaning this temple, which represents cleaning our own hearts, which is a temple of God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes didn't even require any water. There were so many tears of love and ecstasy and humility flowing from his eyes, pouring from his eyes, that he was washing the temple with his tears. And with his own cloth, simple saffron cloth, he was polishing every inch of the temple along with his devotees. Until every inch of that gigantic temple, inside and out, the inside, the courtyard, the outside, every part of that temple was pristine and sparkling and polished. Haribo. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, this is the process we must all undergo of cleaning our own heart. Mama mana mandire. That the heart is God's temple. God is living within our hearts. In fact, he's living within the heart of every living being. Therefore, we should make our heart a perfectly clean place. You know the story of Amoga. Amoga was the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, great Vaishnava. But he was so envious, so envious. He hated Lord Chaitanya. And he spoke so critically against him, right to his face. And because of his offenses, he contracted cholera. And within a matter of a day, he was on his deathbed, about to die. And Lord Chaitanya went to his bedside, ready to forgive him, and said, Amoga, you are a Brahmin. Your heart is meant to be a pure place where God reveals himself to you and to the world. How have you let this filth of envy into your temple of your heart? Chant the holy names of Krishna and be perfect. And just by hearing that instruction, by the Lord's kindness, Amoga chanted the names. Not only did his cholera completely cure, he was in perfect health, but his heart became completely pure. By the power of God, the Lord's mercy and the holy name. So yes, the heart is God's temple. The body is God's temple. Human life means to understand that and to live by that principle. If we want the Lord to meet us within our heart, to give his darshan or to reveal himself within our hearts, we must clean this temple. Make it a perfectly satisfying place for the Lord to reside. And that comes by removing the dust, sand, dirt, and straw of lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. Of our egoistic attachments, of our selfishness. And how do we clean our hearts? We must clean our hearts by our life, by the way we live, by living with morality, with honesty, with humility, with self-control, with kindness and respect to all other living beings. We must avoid polluting ourselves with artificial substances that cloud our consciousness. We must learn to restrain our senses and use them in positive, high spiritual activities. And we must pull the very roots of the weeds of our egoistic, selfish, and cruel propensities, not nourish them. And how do we do that? By a life of humble servitude, by associating with saintly people, and by chanting God's names, especially this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And when our hearts become so pure, as the Gundicha temple was, then Jagannath comes in his chariot and reveals himself to us. Rupa Goswami warns, if you are attached to the superficialities of this world, do not look upon the beautiful form of Govinda. That beautiful form that's standing in the Vrindavan moonlight on the bank of the Yamuna in the forest. Because he will steal your heart. The Lord is Hari. That means one who steals. When our heart becomes clean, the Lord reveals himself. And when we see the Lord, our heart is stolen. Stolen by his love. That is the perfection of life. That is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to strive for. Purification of the heart. Cleansing of the temple of the mind, Gundicha Marjanam. And yes, after the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, then Lord Chaitanya, the next day, or soon after, he celebrated Rath Yatra. And when the Lord returned to Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu day and night remained there, dancing and chanting. Kevala Anandakanda. In the spiritual world, it is not a dry place of simple, monotonous existence, or even just ecstatic existence. It is a place, Goloka, Vaikuntha, a place of eternal, dynamic exchange of the highest, sweetest forms of spiritual love between the Lord and the devotees, and between every devotee and each other. That is our home. Gundicha Marjanam is where we welcome Krishna back home in our hearts. And we return back home, back to Godhead. And in honor of this very auspicious day, we will now dance. Thank you very much.